Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to 100% Canucks. John Shannon here. Landon Ferraro is not here. On assignment, that's what we'll say. Anyway, fresh off the BC Hockey Hall of Fame in Penticton, it was an unbelievable event. Congratulations to Malcolm Ashford, the NHL referee, the former NHL referee, along with Andrew Ladd, Daryl Ray, Josh Georges, Travis Green, and the 09 and 10 Vernon Vipers, who were all inducted into the BC Hockey Hall of Fame event last week in Penticton. It was a spectacular weekend, and one of those ones I think that if you talk to any of the inductees, they will tell you that they didn't realize how much fun they would have doing the event, being part of the event, and the hospitality of being back in British Columbia, and particularly in Penticton. So congratulations to the people at the hall for what they did for an annual event that really deserves a little more publicity and deserves a little more attention, because it's a fun thing. Today on the show is Stan Smeal, who obviously, if you're a Canuck fan, are aware that Stan has worn almost every hat in this organization after being a draft pick, third round from the New Westminster Bruins, where he was the captain of the team that went to the Memorial Cup for four consecutive years, winning two of them. So Smeal was a player, was an assistant coach, was an assistant general manager, was a head of player personnel, was a head coach of the American League team in New York State. And then has done whatever this organization has asked of him as he continues his relationship with the hockey club. He's a great storyteller. He's one of the most approachable guys. In my opinion, he is Mr. Canuck, and that is one of the reasons why that number 12 sweater and the number 12 number is retired and hanging from the rafters at Rogers Arena. So when we come back, some time with the steamer, Stan Smeal, on this edition of 100% Canucks.
I won't keep you long. Darren Millard with a tip for everyone who loves great hockey podcasts like this one. John Shannon and I host the OG of 100% Hockey, coming your way multiple times a week. The guest list is the best you will find. Multiple shows a week ensures you won't miss out on any news, and we dig even deeper into the biggest stories around the NHL. Most of our guests are also friends, so I promise there'll be more conversation beyond the X's and the O's. John really does get bored with that after a while. So join us for 100% Hockey. The name says it all. Subscribe now while you enjoy thinking about it. And enjoy.
Welcome back to 100% Canucks. Pleased to be joined by Stan Smeal, who has had every job in this organization, I think, other than, were you an usher at the Coliseum at some point, Stan?
I know all the ushers from back in the day, that's for sure, at the Coliseum. I see them on a regular basis.
When you think about it, you know, assistant coach, I mean, you were a general manager for an interim for a while, as obviously one of the great players in Canuck history with the 12 hanging in the rafters, and minor league coach, management, assistant general manager. I mean, what haven't you done for this hockey club?
You know what? Yeah, I've been very lucky, very humble, very fortunate to get drafted by Vancouver. It's It's obviously it's a team that I watched a lot playing junior hockey right next door in New Westminster. I knew the team, I knew the players, I knew what I could bring as a player, but I had no idea, John, that after 45 years with one organization, going on 46, 47 here, that I would still be here and to be part of it. As a player, I was rewarded to be able to move on in the coaching department with Pat Quinn. After the coaching and coaching in the minors, I was able to work within the hockey ops department over the years. So I've been very fortunate and been able to, you know, John, it's really interesting. It's, you know, all the great people I've been able to work with, you know, and players that you meet, that you stay friends throughout your career. More the connection probably with the fan base now. Now that right. I'm an ambassador type of role, I get to go out and meet the fans and get closer with them. I've always been close, but even closer. And just listening to them and what they have to say about myself as a player and other players. So that has been probably one of the most rewarding things right now for me. But yeah, I would have never thought of it coming from Northern Alberta, 13 years old, to play in the BC Junior Hockey League.
Hold on. You played in the BC Junior League at 13?
Yes, I did. Yeah, Punch brought me over.
Isn't that illegal?
I think my parents probably thought, and maybe Punch asked Punch that, but you know what? Punch had a way with everything. I never ever thought that I fell in love with the province right away. Who doesn't? Right. You walk off the plane and the ocean and the air, the salt water, you can smell it. I fell in love with the province and I'm still here. So I've been very, very fortunate.
You've given me about 15 topics to talk about. But I want to go back because I want to talk about Punch. I want to talk about Ernie McLean at a certain point. But you said early on that you as an ambassador, you interact with the fans more now and enjoy it. Do you think they understand what's going on with the hockey team right now? Do they understand the rebuild? And are they on board?
Absolutely. On board. Been wanting it for a while. And what's really interesting, John, is that they'll go through the hard times moving forward, but I think they have seen there's no fast way to get to being an elite team or a playoff type of team. You have to build to get there. They want it. They're still going to support it. They know it's going to be hard. So yes, that's one of the biggest response I get from the fan base, that they're excited. And probably even more so now, John, now with the hiring that we've done. Right. So this was before all the different changes within our organization. And, Daniel, Henrik Sedin are, as you know, were elite players, played with passion. They have a Canuck tattoo on their body someplace, and they want to win, as do I. That's the one thing that I haven't been able to bring is the Stanley Cup to Vancouver or BC. There are going to be growing pains as we move forward, and Daniel and Henrik know that. And then there's Ryan Johnson, who
Memory serves me, you brought Ryan Johnson into the organization, didn't you?
Yes, I brought him in the player development with me at that time, and I'm really excited for him. I know how hard he works, but also he has a passion, and all three of them at the end of the day have a game plan, and they're going to follow through on the game plan. There's not going to be any swaying here back or forth. And I think for me now, with the fans before and now talking to them, how excited they are also to see that. Everyone talks about it, John, and I have talked to him about just being inexperienced. And that's right. Something we're just going to have to deal moving forward. We're going to make mistakes. You all make mistakes someplace, but you just how you recover from the mistakes moving forward. So I'm excited about it all. And I know talking to our fan base over the years especially the last year, that they're excited about it also.
So you talk about inexperience. I mean, you look at Manny and his coaching staff. Were you surprised that they didn't have a guy with a little more NHL pedigree on the staff at some point?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a pretty, especially where we're at. That's kind of been the pedigree of how teams do it, and they bring in someone that has that experience, is exactly what you said. But I think as I see his staff and the new direction that we're going, that I don't have any issues with it. Manny played over 1,000 games in the NHL. He's a very hard worker what he does. He's serious about it. So he has that experience there. Yes, you're going to adjust as a coach. I remember when I was coaching Syracuse my first year in the AHL. It was an exhibition game, and I'm going, oh, my God, I don't even know who's – or one of the players said, who's up next? Stan, like, as a rookie coach, oh yeah, okay, you adjust and you move forward. And he has the experience now a little bit at the AHL, and he knows what it takes to win at the AHL. It's not easy. Any league, you know, for minor hockey, maybe Bantam and Midget or junior hockey, college, AHL, East Coast League, it's hard to win a championship. And Manny's gone through that experience, and he'll learn. He'll make some mistakes moving forward, but he also has the experience and help from Ryan Johnson and Daniel and Henrik. And he has that support of them at the same time. And they're all on the same page with the game plan.
How would you describe Manny's coaching style if you've seen it?
Very patient. First of all, I think the biggest thing, he's a teacher. If you go from the steps like a coach preparing a practice or preparing for the game, mm-hmm. Manny's there. And it's not just he's there early. He is figuring how he can get every player better moving forward, but also how can we win and what it takes to win. And he puts that in, all that work before, that he carries it on to practice. And then a lot of his practices from myself, what it's repetition, which I think is a real key for a coach, is repetition. And work ethic. Your practice could be 30 minutes, 40 minutes, but be the best that you can. You practice for a reason. That's to win. So all that steps starts in his office to practice, to game. And mm-hmm. he'll reward you at the same time if you need to get rewarded. And if you don't, he's not going to reward you. But he's not going to sulk or be upset with you. He's going to come and work with you the next day. And that's for every player within his team. And I think that's important. It doesn't matter your best players or your top, you know, six forwards or whatever. Everyone gets treated the same with their effort,
You'll get rewarded with more ice time. And if you don't, he'll take that ice time away from you. But he won't. He's not going to scream and yell at you. He's going to work with you to get better.
As I mentioned in the opening, you and I had some time together in Penticton at the BC Hockey Hall of Fame event. And we're talking about a couple of issues. Travis Green was one of the guys that got inducted into the hall. And Travis, in my opinion, was the one coach that got through to Elias Pettersson. I think Pettersson played his best hockey as a Canuck when Travis was the coach. Can Manny squeeze enough out of that lemon to get some quality play out of 40, out of number 40?
That's the big question. That's probably one of the biggest questions going into next year for us. And we'll have that answer right at training camp into the regular season. Yes, I do. I think it's really important now as a coach, you have to be open to these players and see where they're coming from. But also you know what they can bring to the game. And I think that's building up that confidence with Petey moving forward. As much as you bring out the coach, I know that will be there. But on the other hand, it's up to Petey too now. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure I'm positive as an athlete, he's looking at himself, I've got to be better too. And he knows that, and he wants to be. So you do have that new coach coming in and a player that's had some tough couple years here, but the potential's there and they both know it. Now they've got to bring it together. And I think, John, what I said is how Manny prepares his team, and it starts in his office, starts in practice, it starts in games. And that's where you build the confidence, no matter what player. If you know your third or fourth liner, your first and second are the same. And I think Petey will see that. And I think he has enough talent that they can put it together, because that's so important for our organization moving forward.
So it wouldn't surprise you if Pettersson is still a Canuck by the time camp starts. That's a good question. That's a good way to ask the question, huh?
Absolutely. I like the way you snuck around that one coming back. You know what? I learned that early in my career that no one's ever safe when you trade Wayne Gretzky away. Yeah. So it's that'll happen. I don't know. But until then, he is a Canuck, and he's going to get my support, and the rest of management also, I'm sure, going to give him the support. But where that answer comes, I don't know. But the best get traded in the world.
All right. You talked about early in your career. The other thing that has happened this summer, just prior to the Hall of Fame, was there was a tremendous memorial for your former junior coach, Ernie Punch McLean, a guy who obviously had a huge impact on your career, on your life. Maybe there's two generations, maybe three generations of people that don't understand Ernie McLean, period, and what made him tick. The floor is yours.
I think just, John, and you probably feel the same way, even if you bring up his name in a conversation with whoever, and you bring up Ernie Punch McLean, you think of intimidation. You think of mean, and, you know, disrespectful, or whether, which is not true. Like, obviously, he had a big impact. He saw something when 13 years old, he saw something there. And remember, at that age, I wasn't 6 foot. I've never been 6 foot.
I got news for you, Stan.
I was never 6 foot, but he saw something with me with all these bigger players. And that was just the way the game was, you know, 6 foot, 6 foot one. Now it's even bigger, like, you know, taller. So, but he saw something there, and at 13, I remember him sitting down and explaining to my mom and dad how this was going to work, and that, and kind of planning my path through junior hockey. And my path was given. You know, whenever you win and you win championships and you go to four Memorial Cups and you win a couple of them, that's a great confidence booster for myself as a player. But I'll just say one thing about one thing Ernie said to me when I was leaving, and the draft was, we were 19 years old, so it was a little different. Punch and Bill Shinsky, I had to do something in Regina for the team after we won Memorial Cup. We had this presentation, and I can't remember what it was. They asked me to go to Regina to accept it. I went to accept it. I came back to New West, get my equipment at the rink. Punch and Bill were in the office. And they called me in, and Punch said to me, Stan, he says, don't read or what you hear about all the what the NHL scouts say about you. You're too small. You can't skate. You're sloppy skater. You, all this and that. He says, don't think of that. He said, you, as in minor hockey, were a goal scorer. And I was kind of surprised because I didn't, there was no stats then, but he knew my stats as a Bantam hockey player. And it was like, I was a goal scorer. He just said, all I'm going to say to you, Stan, he says, respect your teammates, respect who you're playing against, but play your game. Don't let that get away from you. And that's always stayed with me right from day one. So Punch, as much as people think of what the New Westminster Bruins were then, and we were, you know, we were the Broad Street Bullies of Queen's Park, and intimidation was a big part of the game, and Punch played it right to a T, but there was always a reason why. And he always said at our banquets at the end of the year, he says, we never get enough credit because you have to score to win. And those types of players he had there. So he, along with that bulliness, the toughness, he was able to recognize talent and goal scorers that he wanted to bring in. So he knew what type of mixture you needed to win as a player. And he was really good at that. And then he was someone that his door was always open. And at that age, you know, from being homesick to getting into trouble, there was all sorts of things Punch dealt with, but he always supported you in the end. And I think every player, I'm not the only player would say that. And, you know, a lot of players' comments, there were, you know, players that couldn't make it, Barry Beck and John Grodnick and others sent messages and just saying the same sort of things I said at it and that we're talking about right now. So, yes, he had a passion for the game. Boy, coaching New West, he was, Bellingham was sort of like a farm team. He was always there watching us. And then Coquitlam, Chilliwack Chiefs, he was always watching all the games. And then, as you know, he came to all our games, every NHL game I missed until 94 years old. So he had a real passion for the game.
I mean, when you look at you were in Bellingham when I was my first year of university in Vancouver, and so his teams, I mean, if you pick the names of the players off of those four New West teams, I mean, there are legendary names on that team, tough guys. I mean, Miles Zaharko and Harold Filipov and Mark Lofthaus, and I mean, then you go to a guy like Freddie Barry, who I still don't understand why he didn't have a better career in the NHL.
I agree. He's one of the most skilled guys I've ever played with. He was phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
No, the list goes on and on. And Barry Beck alone, the impact that Barry has had on the game at a certain point, whether it was in junior hockey or in the NHL, I mean – Ernie obviously had a great eye for talent.
Yeah. Remember, he traded Ryan Walters.
Right.
Ryan Walters, Westminster Bruin. He traded Ryan to Kamloops for Barry Beck back in the day. But you're right. All those players, like you had, you know, John O'Grodnick, Rocky Saginaw, Randy Rudnick, you know, a lot, and Terry Hockstetter, who was at it. There were so many people at the celebration of life. Punch and I always laughed, and I always say to people about that, and you'll appreciate this because you remember what was right next door across the street from Queen's Park Arena was the BC Penitentiary. And right. I always said to Punch, "Well, Punch," he always wanted to know where his players were. And he was always coming to me saying at the games, "Guess who I got in touch with? Guess who called me?" And we always joked about it after. He said, "Well, we just have to phone the BC Pen to get half our guys out of jail." That's which wasn't the way. It was just kind of funny that it was right across the street. But anyways, we always chuckled. And it's not there anymore.
To go to four consecutive Memorial Cups, so basically win the Western League four straight years, in a cycle where, you know, it's not like it is now, but to win four straight years in junior hockey, you'll never see that again. You'll never see that.
No, I you know what? I think you and I were talking about it the other day at last weekend there at the BC Hockey Hall of Fame. I haven't really sat really think about that, but you think about it, yeah. That's not gonna happen. And there's some great teams. Look at the London Knights. Like, there's some great teams, and it's different how teams can stack their teams nowadays. But it was quite the accomplishment. You know what's funny about that, and Ryan, probably the 2 years that we won it, we probably shouldn't have won it, and the 2 years that we lost, we should have won. You know, it's kind of like how that kind of works. Definitely, my last year, the rivalry we had against Portland, like they were a stacked team, but Punch just basically outcoached him,
the Ken Hodge,
yes, Brian Shaw, Ken Hodge, yeah, they were like they had
that would drive them nuts. So.
because all the success that Barry Beck and Brad Maxwell, another great player we talk about,
right.
They got drafted the year before. And so my last year, we just made playoffs. We just lucky to get in. And then we just dominated all through the playoffs. So this was Portland's opportunity, and the players, Perry, Turnbull, and they had a stacked team. Anyways, we were able to beat them. And that's so, to accomplish that as a team, it's always rewarding, but I agree. I don't know if that'll ever be the record stick for another little while. That's for sure.
Why didn't he get a chance to coach in the NHL? When you look at the guys that got chances, who coached a similar style to him, I mean, Bill LaForge got a chance to coach in the NHL. You know, Mike Keenan got a chance to coach in the NHL. The guys that coached tough hockey, some survived, some didn't. But why didn't Ernie?
I don't know. And that's one question that always boggled my mind. And that's what I said at the celebration of life. I said at the end is that Punch, and I've told you this before, you would have been a great NHL coach. Not just great, but you would have been very successful. And just because of the things we talk about, his identity to see what it took to win and to have the right mixture as a team, and that's what he was strong, or character and all that, that's what he was really, really good at. I don't know. Maybe, John, but even before that, now we're going – so my first year pro at Vancouver, there was that incident with Portland again.
Right.
That ugly brawl. He sent the whole team out. Portland did not. And and I think that was probably what was one of the things affected the NHL from hiring Punch as a coach. I could be. Yeah. It just seemed after that his name's, who knows? Yeah.
The other guys that influenced your life, you mentioned Pat Quinn earlier. Would Ernie and Pat be at the top of the list?
Yeah. Yeah. Both, you know, away from the rank and having, I think biggest, the thing that would jump out for me for both of those guys right off the bat, and it's so important. They talk about, you know, character and all those things. Well, it starts for me at the top, and where it starts for me, their door was always open in their office. I'm sure you went by, if you happened to go by Pat's door and he was, sure, you'd walk in. And that's the way both of them were. They were open to everything, and especially the players. That's where their hearts were. And I think they were both familiar in that part as coaches.
Where do you put in your career as a player, when you look back at the years you played for the hockey club, what jumps out at you as the biggest moments?
Well, for me personally, just myself.
Yeah, yeah.
In making it to the NHL. Playing, I think it was against St. Louis, my first exhibition game was against LA and Victoria, but anyways, my first NHL game. It, John, it's like, and you've heard this before. You've heard, like, everything that you go through, but more so that dream coming from Northern Alberta, that you've made it. Not made it, you're playing in the NHL. And so that was probably my... But then as a team, obviously, a few things jump out. But 1982, when we went to the finals, that was something it was like we were a team. Like that incident in Quebec City brought us all together even more so. But if you take a look at that team, that's who we were. And Roger was able to get us all to play a role, and everyone accepted their role. But that probably was my highlight of going through it and getting there. We were that close, but we ran against the dynasty and the New York Islanders, and how many, they've got 10 players that have been inducted into hockey Hall of Fame. Like, so, but still one of the things, I really liked the effort we put in night in and night out. It was just a team effort, you know, from whoever it was. And, you know, people say we didn't have enough talent. We had a lot of talent. You take a look at down the center, Thomas Gradin and Ivan Boldarev. And then you got wingers, Darcy Ruda, you know, all these, Kurt Fraser, you know, we had a pretty talented team at the same time.
The team that people forget was the 89 team that you ended up playing Calgary in that first round series. Anyway, because you have to wonder, you get by the Flames,
and they were the dynasty then. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. Well, I mean, that was when you listen, the 1980s. If you weren't the Islanders, you were Oilers or Flames, right? Between Calgary and Edmonton. But you guys win that series against Calgary, you never know what can happen, because that was seven games. And was it Mike Vernon that shot Vernon?
Yeah, the breakaway.
Yeah.
That one still bugs me.
Sorry. I'm sorry to bring it up.
No, I'm glad you brought it up, because John, it's a game. And I was put into position of a dream that a lot of players have. Game seven, you had a breakaway to win the game. And they were number one, and I think we were eighth, and we're one against eighth and stuff. That was a dream. But it bothered me for a bit. That summer bothered me and that. But you know what? It's just a game. And I was fortunate enough to get there to be in that situation. But Mike Vernon. That's why they call it a catching glove. And I shot it right in his glove. And I usually deke on that, and I didn't deke. But Patrick Streko, wrap around, hit the goalpost. I think Tony Tanti has had an opportunity to finish it up too. So we did, like you said that, and Russ Cardinal, he always said to me, so he was with Montreal and they were waiting and stuff. And he said a bunch of them were in the bar in Montreal watching the game. And they were so upset I didn't score because they wanted to play us, then Calgary. Oh, our guys just hated you, Stan. So, but who knows? And then, you know, Bob McCammon and Jack McElhardy were coaches, and they really read our team really well. And then it's the system we played, and everyone played the system. No one cheated it. And when you do that, you get success. So a lot of credit has to go to those two guys.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I speak for a generation of people around the Canucks, you know, Gradin, Smeal, Fraser. You guys had some chemistry.
John, and this is one other thing you're probably never, ever going to see again. Those three names you just brought up, yeah. We were all rookies. We're a rookie line that went on our rookie year, went on to play together for 7 years, 8 years, maybe. I think it's not. And you don't see that in the NHL. Like to have an all rookie line at that time was pretty special too. That's another thing that hits me as a player, 82, 89, and that being a rookie line, playing, able to play with Kurt Fraser, who I fought. Battled when he was a victorious so much, so I respected so much. And then Thomas to come in.
Thomas took more shit than anybody else.
You know what? He gave it out too. I saw him give it out too. Like, you are totally right. They went after him and stuff and that, but he dished it out just as much. And then once they got to know who Kurt Fraser was out in the ice, then they kind of backed off and doing stuff to Thomas too. Like, you don't want to, anyways. But Thomas made us better because he was so skilled, and we had to keep up to him in practice. Like we would do skating drills, and Thomas would be half a lap in front of everyone. And Frazin, I remember Frazin, we got to keep up with this guy, and he made us better. And I couldn't, you know. Those three guys are made. I played with half my career, and we were so successful.
And for, let's face it, for the longest time, Thomas became a great eye for talent too, right? Great scout.
Great scout. Yeah. And there's another guy that had a Canuck tattoo somewhere on his body. Yeah. And he had a passion, and he wanted to win so much. Absolutely.
By the way, I am a little miffed at you today because you're doing this outside and it looks magnificent in Vancouver because it's a hot summer day in Vancouver and, you know, it's pouring rain here in Toronto. So,
well, the other, you got smoke in Toronto or it's pouring rain?
No, right, the smoke's gone now. We exported it all. We got rid of it. So,
yeah. Trump's fine with it now. He's happy.
I don't think Trump's fine with anything. So,
I agree. Yeah. Very lucky. You know what, John? When we started this, I've been so lucky to be able to stay in one city, one province, and as beautiful as this. And this is the reason why I stayed is this. And the fan base. They're so wonderful, so passionate. And even more so, it's kind of funny though, as we get older and stuff and myself being in a position now as an ambassador role, Kurt McLean and I do a lot together and we'll do signings. And of course, Kurt's a lot younger and all that and stuff. And we'll be at the table signing. It's funny when people come across the table and they'll go, oh, Kurt McLean. Yeah. Yeah. And all of a sudden, then they'll come to me and go, oh, Stan Smeal. Oh, my grandpa or my grandma or my mom and dad would love to have your autograph. Ouch. And then Kirk is always kicking me at underneath the table. But it's funny how, you know, it's just, I just love it here. It's just the passion. Yeah. It's as you know, John, I know how much you love it here too. It's just a great state to be in. And we just got to, it's going to be a little while, but I think we're on the right path of trying to get a successful team that's hard to play against on a regular basis.
You've talked about really a fan base that sounds quite positive, yet there's a real perception that the town's negative.
Does that have to do anything with the media?
I don't know. Maybe. No. But no. I mean,
I think obviously the negative comes from losing. But when you're winning, it's no better place to be. And I'm sure a lot of cities like that. But we've had a continuous downslide here for a few years. And you're going to get this. It comes with the territory. You know what? And if players can't handle it or not proud of it, then move on. Yeah. But for me, like, they're so respectful and that, and you can see that. You can feel that when you're talking to them and that. They just want to win. And I think we've been on such a downslide. There's nothing worse than I hear, you know, comments about our team or jokes or said about it, and that it bothers me. But that just goes with the territory right now.
I tell you what, this has been great, Stan. Thanks for this.
You got enough?
I think we got enough. We'll squeeze this lemon.
45 years, John. We could go on for quite a while, buddy.
Maybe you'll have to come back just before Christmas or something like that.
I'd be more than happy to, John. Anytime for you. You know, I really respect you for what you've done, but just being the person that you are, you're good at what you do. You got passion for it, and you're just a good person.
That's very kind of you to say. That's Stan Smeal. I think he's Mr. Canuck. I think most people would agree.
No,
we'll be back on 100% Canucks after this.
All right.
Face Off Inside the NHL returns, taking you deeper behind the scenes than ever before. See it all from the star-studded Four Nations Face Off tournament.
Us against the world, boys.
To the adrenaline of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I'm scared of you guys.
With candid interviews and backstage access, experience the sacrifice, the rivalries, and the determination that define NHL greatness.
Just when I thought last year couldn't be topped, here we are.
A new season of Face Off Inside the NHL. Watch now only on Prime Video.
Stan wasn't joking. I think we could have probably gone on for another hour because every time he said something, it tweaked another response from me and another question. His relationship with Ernie McLean is one of those ones that is legendary. Hard to imagine a kid at 13 going to the BC Junior League, leaving home, and his parents trusting a hockey coach to look after him and get him to the point where not only was he a player for the Bruins in New Westminster, but he ended up captaining that team and then joining the Vancouver Canucks, where as well he became the captain of the hockey club that went to the Stanley Cup final in 1982 and entertained a great many fans at the Coliseum for all those years that Stan played. Next week, We'll tap into the organization one more time. Alex Edler will join us from Sweden. And we'll get an idea of what Alex's new job is within the organization that Daniel and Henrik and Ryan Johnson have created. Thanks to Stan Smeal and thanks to you for listening and watching this edition of 100% Canucks.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.